All right, we're going to continue our series. Might be the last one here, but we're kind of promoting grow groups. We're not kind, I guess we are. They're our version of small groups, on how important it is for us to get connected to a local body and to be able to grow together. Okay, simple as that. And I know sometimes it's the last thing we want to do if we're a private person or we're kind of scared about being in a smaller group, like if we have to maybe say something or whatever. But like I mentioned last week, I gave explicit instructions to our leaders to not make anybody pray or to have to read a scripture or talk if they don't want to. Amen? So don't worry about that. That's off the table. Just come and be a part of them and, you know, watch what God's going to do in your life. Anytime we open ourselves up and get involved with other people, there's always some growth going to happen. And that's important. Now, we need to continually grow in our relationship with the Lord. You know, a problem arises when we choose to stop growing and then we just want to stop at our current growth level, and that happens. It happens sometimes. And what happens is when we get the I have arrived attitude, and sometimes people can get that where they feel they know enough and they don't really need to know any more. And then that gets us in trouble. And I've learned one thing over 40 years of following Jesus is that there's always more to learn and there's always more to experience in the things of God. And it's just important that we keep pressing on. Now, just like any relationship, the deeper you go, the better it gets. You know, what even makes it better is when we grow with other people of like precious faith. And you're going to find that out. A lot of people are alone. And they feel isolated, and all these things kind of come into play in their life, and it's a tough thing. But what we need to do is the last thing we want to do, and that's to try to get connected, because we're afraid. I remember, as I shared before, I got saved in November and started Bible school in January, so I had about a month or two there to backslide, but I didn't. I hung right in there, and just started to really get around other people. And when I did that, it really made a big difference in my life when I started to get around other Christians, and a little bit of them rubbed off on me, you know, and that really helped me in my walk and how important that is. So I'm going to do a little recap here. We're going to pray first. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come today. Lord, to be able to experience everything that you have for us, Lord. We know that we were created for fellowship, Lord, and for relationship. Lord, first, the most important relationship is our relationship with you, and then also it's the relationship with other believers. Lord, we just pray right now for your gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. We bind the devil, and I yield to the gift you put in me, and I use it for your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to just go over a few little things here to recap last week a little bit. You know, we looked at the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You know, we had a wild question the other day, came across on Facebook. I don't know, my daughter fields those, and she sent it on to me, but somebody asked how we baptize, and they asked the formula. Some people get hung up on the formula. Some people are Jesus only, so you're only supposed to baptize in the name of Jesus, and you know, others are this. So what I do, I say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So if you ever get grilled by somebody, I got everything covered. You know what I mean? You know, so nobody's going to kick you out of their church just because somebody didn't say something right. But anyway, it's the Great Commission. The Great Commission. And sometimes it turns into the Great Omission. You know, we kind of fall short of doing it. So God says here that we are empowered to make disciples. You know, and that's important. See, Jesus would never ask us to do something that he had not already equipped us to do. He would never do that. So he has put inside you gifts and talents, all the things that you need to be able to go forth and make disciples, to be able to reproduce yourself. I mean, that's the main thing that, you know, we all want to do is we want to reproduce ourselves. We want to, you know, a lot of people maybe want to have a child, you know, to carry on the name or whatever the case may be. But also as a Christian, I think and believe that our main thing that we should be wanting to go for is we need to at least lead one person to the Lord. One person. If you know, and if you have questions about that, I can counsel you through it and help you to do it. But you know, it's the greatest thing you can do. I remember the day I got saved. It was, you know, all the angels of heaven, they just had a hoedown up there, you know, because, you know, one big sinner, you know, bowed his knee. But you know, I do remember leading other people to the Lord, and just how that experience of getting saved again just came all over me, and knowing that that God could use me. You know, and God can use you. Amen. And that's what we need to see, is that He wants us to do that. So to me, a disciple is an all-in people. You know, we need to be all-in. You know, a lot of people try Christianity. You know, they tried Jesus. But no, you just need to just burn the bridge. You know what I'm saying? Cut the net. Work without a net, but just go all-in for Jesus Christ. That's the only time we really have a lot of fun. And, you know, we need to see ourselves as a kingdom builder. You know, we need to build God's kingdom. You know, it's not our kingdom. A lot of people make the mistake of sometimes trying to amass great wealth, and they want a bunch of things named after them. They want to be remembered for all that they've done. But really, it's all about Jesus. And we get past ourselves and get over into God, then we can become a kingdom builder. So that's one thing that we need to see, is the Great Commission. Now we're going to see the Great Commandment, which is found in Matthew chapter 22, 37 to 39, it says, "And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, how many love their neighbors today? Amen? Amen. Got good neighbors? Praise God. Amen. You know, we need to love our neighbor, even if they're unlovable. You know, God says to love them. So what this is talking about is two things: love God, love people. You know, that's something we ought to, you know, write down on a piece of paper and put it in a place where we see it all the time. Love God and love people, because that's really what it's all about. See, discipleship can only be accomplished when we fulfill the Great Commission and live the Great Commandment. So we need to fulfill the Great Commission and be able to live the Great Commandment. We need to walk in love. We want to get along with other people. We want to, you know, influence people for the kingdom of God. And that's just part of what the calling that God has on each of our lives. And you say, you know, I don't know if I can do that. Well, I know you can. See, God gives you grace. Grace is His miracle-working power working in your life. You know, God can help you to do things you never could have ever before thought you could do. You know, I was never one to want to talk in front of people, but God put a gift in me, and this is all Him. It's not me. You know, my personality, I'd rather sit in a corner and look at people and make fun of them. You know, that's what I used to do. I used to like to watch people. Oh man, that's weird. Can you catch, you know, I wasn't that bad, but I was bad. That's kind of bad. So, you know, the Great Commission and the Great Commandment go hand in hand. You know how we need to walk in those. Then we looked at Acts chapter 5, verse 42, which kind of talks about the idea of the importance of coming to church, and then also the importance of being a part of a small group. It says, "And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on and teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." So we see here the temple courts, and then we see house to house. The temple courts is like we come under a setting like this, and it's a fivefold ministry setting. Remember, God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the body of Christ. So we need to submit our life to a fivefold ministry gift. You know, and if we're not doing that, we're missing out. You know, because it's the gift that's in the person is what's going to help you mature. And that's the gift I'm walking in. You know, I walk in the pastoral gift. And there's things that I can do, the gift can do through me, that can help you in your walk with God. You know, I'm the shepherd, you're the sheep. Jesus is the great shepherd. You know, but there's things you can draw from me if you choose to. Just like anytime I go to a service and I go there and I'm sitting and the minister's going to speak, you know, I want what they have. I want to draw that from them. And so you can draw things out of me while you're sitting there. If you have the hunger inside of you that, God, I need a word today, I need something, well, God will speak through me a word that maybe I never planned on saying. I mean, a lot of people, I know I make some people nervous. You know, I do know that. You know, they say I read their mail all the time, because sometimes when I preach, you know, I'm speaking right to them. Well, that's the Holy Spirit bringing it home to you. You know, I'm just speaking in general, but the Holy Spirit is in you. He's the teacher, the revealer, and he's bringing things to you that you need. So that's setting under a fivefold ministry gift, and we need to do that. I mean, yeah, you can watch online. I know we got people watching now, but it's best to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Where you can experience the full effect of the worship and everything that we have and the anointing that's here to be able to bring change, because that's what it's all about, is change. Well, then it talks about house to house, and that's talking about a grow group. That's our verbiage on it. But it's about, you know, how people would meet together and grow together in smaller groups. It's important that we have those kind of personal relationships. You know, a lot of people may try to hide in a church. Some people go to a big church, and they slip in and they slip out, you know, and they get their touch, you know, they get their thing. You know, usually a big church has a great band or something like that, so they enjoy being entertained and all these things. Not all the time, but I mean, you know, so there's that. But see, we need to go deeper. We need to try to find more in our life and to experience life with other people and to grow together. And to be honest, people, I found this out a little later on. I wasn't wired like this in the beginning. You know, I was wired, you know, as an individual. I mean, in a sense, you know, I didn't need a lot of people. I kept some guards up, you know, kept people away because maybe I was afraid they would see the real me. You know, maybe, you know, I didn't really like me. I live with me. I don't like me. You know what I mean? And you think what my wife goes through all the time, you know, praise God. You know, it's just kind of one of those deals. But, you know, I'm still growing and getting better. But I do know that as we experience this with other people, it's so much better. See, their individual needs, when they met in a smaller group, would get met in a more personal way. And I just hear the testimony that's coming through the small groups that we have here, just the testimony of what people are saying, what God's doing in their life, and how it's working. I mean, it's community, man. You know, and you're missing out if you're not a part of that. You need to tap in. And so, but I do know it takes a little time to build trust. Remember I said, you know, I've taught a lot of freedom classes. That's a series we go through. We have a book and, you know, it's 12 weeks long. I know that sounds like a long time, but it ain't. But, you know, after 4 or 5 weeks, people start to open up to each other and they start to feel comfortable talking. So it takes a while. Just think if you was in a group that went for maybe about a year, you know, just think what it would be like, that sort of community, that sort of fellowship, that family, because church is a family. And you get those connections, you know, being built in their life. So that brings me to the next point I want to talk about is what happens in a grow group. A grow group. Well, there's two things that happen. There's group discovery and there's self-discovery. I got that while I was driving the other day. I thought it was kind of cool. But, you know, and I don't know. I must have wrote it down somewhere. Maybe I wrote it in my mind. I don't know what I did. Maybe my wife was with me. But sometimes I put them in my phone when I get stuff from God. Because has you ever forgot something good, you know, from God? Every now and then you do. So you got to mark those things down real quick. That's why we have smartphones for dumb people, right? Amen. So what it is, group discovery, is we can better understand about the things we do as a body as well as our individual giftings. Okay. We have the body of Christ, which is the universal body of Christ all around the world. And then right here today, we have the local body of Christ. This is a local church, and we are a body. And Jesus Christ is the head. He's the head of the body, and he gives directions and leading to the body. And we're a part of that body. And in that, we all have different giftings and different things that, you know, God has put inside of us. How, you know, some of us are downright unique, aren't we? You know, I mean, you're really, really unique. You know, there's nobody like you, right? They broke the mold, that type of deal. That's kind of sometimes the goodness of how what happens when we get together, you know, and all these things. But see, as we come as a group and we start to learn together, we start to experience things together, and then the group gets stronger. Then also what happens is that our individual giftings start to come out. They start to rise to the top. You know, some of you, you may not know it yet, but you might be a Bible teacher. Do you think I knew that the first day? No. But I found out through a process of exposing myself to different things. You know, and I'll be honest, I used to think I was a worship leader. But we found out that wasn't true, didn't we? Huh? But I wouldn't have known unless I did it. Now, I led worship in Bible school, and every time we did it, the gifts of the Spirit were in operation, just powerful. You know, but little did I know, I don't have rhythm. I never found out till I started this church. You know, so, but see, we step into those things, we start to experience those things, and, you know, in a smaller group, you know, you may have a word for somebody. You may not feel like talking in front of the whole group, but in a group of five or six or eight of you, you might feel like sharing something, you know, and that's how we grow. So we are at our best, the body of Christ gets better, especially if the local church, you know, gets better. And it comes by, you know, being able to work together. Now, I want to look at the five points of connection that happen in grow groups. They're discipleship, fellowship, worship, ministry, and evangelism. It's kind of like spokes on a wheel. Remember last week we talked about a wheel? This is kind of where I left off. You know, a wheel, if you have a flat tire, it's only flat on the bottom, right? All the rest of it's really good. But, you know, if you have these five spokes working in your life, to me, it's like a star. You know, if you have all five of these, you're a star. You know what I mean? In the body of Christ. If you're operating in discipleship, fellowship, worship, ministry, and evangelism, it takes all these things, really, to get the whole rounded, gospel of Jesus Christ and the things that, you know, God has for us. So the first thing we're going to see is discipleship, and we've been talking about that. You know, when we grow spiritually, you know, God wants us to grow spiritually. He doesn't want us to stay a baby. You know, if you had a 14-year-old child and they were still wearing a diaper and they couldn't take care of themselves or do things, you'd kind of wonder what's going on. Maybe my parenting skills ain't quite what they need to be, right? You know, we have some things there that we need to do. We want our children to grow. The goal of any parent should be to want their child to grow up so that they can take care of themselves when they get older. You know, so they can make good decisions. And see, that's part of the growth process, and the same thing spiritually. How we need to grow spiritually in the things of God. To me, I look at it like a cross. Discipleship is the vertical part of the cross, okay? It's the idea between us and God. And we grow spiritually in that relationship with God and all that entails. And we need to get that right. That's the first thing you need to get right. You know, I want to ask, are you right with God? You know, if you got a little weird feeling on the inside, may not be right with God. That might be the Holy Spirit saying, hey, you know, we need to maybe fix this today. We need to maybe surrender our life to Christ. And that's worth it. You know, surrender is not a sign of defeat. It's a sign of strength. Thank you. When you give your life to Christ, I mean, that's just powerful. So as well as discipleship, then we look at fellowship. That's when we grow emotionally. How many people here are emotional sometimes? Amen? Sometimes we all have emotions, don't we? And what happens is that, you know, sitting by ourselves in isolation, emotionally, we feel a lot of times like, hey, I'm fine. But what happens then is we get exposed to other people and we get into a group. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. And all that growth process starts to take place where we start to maybe get rid of those rough edges. Anybody got rough edges? You know what I'm saying? Those things that make it so we're hard to get along with other people all the time. You know, we need that. We need to fix that. And that just happens in community when you start to work together. Because we all have different ideas on how to do things. You know, and sometimes, you know, maybe our way isn't really the best all the time. I mean, it is really, right? You know, but, you know, sometimes we just got to get along with other people, and that helps us to grow emotionally. And to me, that's the horizontal part of the cross. If you look at it, Jesus' arms were spread wide, reaching out. And see, that's what we need to do. We need to spread our arms wide and reach out and be all inclusive and to try to reach people for Jesus Christ. And, you know, we grow with other people, and Jesus wants us to grow with other people and to be able to be a part of that. Next is part of a grow group is the idea of worship. And to me, worship's not just singing a song. You know, that's all good. You know, if you don't like singing songs, you're going to hate heaven. You're just going to hate it. You know, because God, it says that, man, there's people around there just worshiping Jesus. Holy, holy, holy. Could you imagine when you get in the presence of Jesus the first time there? Just drop to your knees. Boom. You know, just got to worship him. And see, through worship is when we experience freedom. Because true worship is when we have no boundaries between us and God. Now, I know sometimes we can play patty cake, right? Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, you know. Or we can worship him, oh Lord. But how many knows that sometimes we can do that, but our heart is still far from him? You know, and so what we need to do if that's going on is that we say, hey, focus on you, Jesus. It's about you. To me, it's a wild place to get the freedom is when you get to that place where you have unabandoned worship. It's kind of like what David did in the Old Testament when he was king. Here he's the king of the nation, you know. God had finally put him in a position that he was destined to be. He had been anointed, with the oil years earlier, but he went back to serving those little sheep right after he got anointed. Just kept working and following God and doing what he's supposed to. Then all of a sudden, they was bringing, the Ark of the Covenant back to town. You know, it was time for, doing that. And David, he didn't care. He stripped down, not totally naked, but down to, let's say, his underwear, undergarments. And he was just dancing before the Lord. Unabandoned, didn't care what anybody else thought. That's true worship. I'm not there yet. I want to get there. I'm going to keep my clothes on. Don't worry about that. That's not where I'm going with this. This is not a prelude to what's going to happen next week. You know what I'm saying? You know, but, you know, I want to get to that place where it's just so free. That all I care about is my Savior, my Lord, my Master, the one who died on the cross for me to set me free. And see, that's what true worship is about, and we can get, and our goal is to get to that. The next thing is the fact that we do ministry. Now, probably the most, without going into all this, but the motivational gifts, which are found in Romans chapter, chapter 12? Starting verse 7, I believe. Anyway, one of the gifts is serving. And there's probably more servers in the body of Christ than probably most of the other gifts because there's a lot of needs to be met. Well, you get into a small group, you know, and then you start serving people. You know, could I get you a coffee or get you something to drink? You know, that sounds, well, that's nothing. Well, yes, it is if you do it with the right heart. If you're doing it to love Jesus, you know, love this person like you love Jesus. You're just doing something for them, and it's for the glory of God. You know, I remember when I was in Bible school, this one lady, she was working at the church at that time as a custodian, and, you know, she was living with these other two Bible school roommates, and they were, psycho. I'll just tell you what it is. I mean, they were just Jesus this and Jesus that, and everything was spiritual. I mean, Jesus was behind every rock. And anyway, they made this lady feel real bad because she wasn't really in Bible school. She wasn't doing anything. She's just cleaning the church. I says, that's more important than what they're doing. Because they're doing nothing. They're just talking about it. But what you're doing is you're making the place so people can come and they can worship. And you're taking care of the house of God. And, you know, it just really helped her, you know, to see that what anybody does is important. Whatever we do, you know, if you make the coffee, if you serve people, if you do the vacuuming, if you're working in the parking lot or greeting people, all these things is ministry. And we need to be a part of those things. You know, to be able to grow, and no matter, we never really grow out of that. But, you know, and to me, is when we get into ministry, it's when we start to grow in grace and anointing. In the grace of God and the anointing that God has put on your life. Each of us has an anointing. It says so in 1 John, I think chapter 2, around the 20s there. It talks about we each have an anointing. You may not think so, but you do. You have an anointing from God that God has placed on you. And God has put grace in your life, and that you can do that. And he's given you, he's enabled you and given you the power that you need to be able to accomplish whatever he's called you to do. There's nothing you can't do that he's called you to do, but you have to do it through him. You know, there's things that I can do on my own. I have certain giftings and talents, but there's some things I can't do without God, and them's the ones I enjoy the most because I know it's him. Amen? It's the anointing. And I'll be honest, I've said this before, the anointing is addictive. It's addictive when you start to feel the presence of God and you start to see God start to work through you. It's just powerful. I encourage you. But you don't get it unless you apply yourself. Now, we may get a little goosebumps or get a little touch from God when we're worshiping, right? Sometimes, you know, especially if you sit right up here in the front row, right, people? You guys really get it all right there, right? No, just kidding. You know, we'll put more seats up front next week, yeah. But, you know, we experience that anointing, and then you start to learn. It takes experience, people. We have to have experience in ministry. And I learned, I started teaching kids in Sunday school. You know, I was a, what, 24-year-old? I think it was before I turned 25 that I started teaching them little three-year-olds. And I'll be honest, I hadn't been around any kids for a long time. You know, but the Sunday school, head of Sunday school, asked me if I'd help out, and I was in Bible school, and we were supposed to be doing something in Bible school, supposed to be, you know, interning, doing stuff. So I did that. I learned a lot, you know, and I learned that I wasn't supposed to be a three-year-old teacher, you know, after a while. But I loved it because I learned because I experienced God in a way that I never would have before if I was just, you know, attending church. Because in that position, I needed God. Those little souls were entrusted to me. I was responsible to make sure they had a proper understanding of who Jesus Christ was. And I took it serious. And, you know, I just loved it. And my wife was amazed. I would talk to the little three-year-olds like they were adults and get away with it. You know, they could understand big words and stuff like that. I mean, I don't use that many big words, but, you know, it was just really good. Really loved those kids. Then the last thing we do is evangelism. Through evangelism, we grow numerically. You know, we need to grow numerically because we need to reproduce ourselves. So we need to reach out to a lost and dying world. Now, some people may not come to a service like this in the beginning. They may feel, you know, I don't know how many people that's came into this church that said that it'll fall down if I come in there, and I tell them, I build it, I put some extra nails in. You know what I'm saying? This baby's not coming down, I guarantee it. It's not coming down. But yet, they may still feel like in a service like this, and all the people, sometimes anxiety comes in, which is a big lie from the devil. But, you know, but they may come to a smaller grow group. And that's fine. That's what you do. You're supposed to reach out to them. Hey, we got this group of people. We're reading the Bible together. It's really good. It's low key, you know, nothing intense. Would you like to come? I'll set by you. You know, and really we should do that on Sunday. Hey, if you come, I'll set by you. If you invite 10 people and they all come, I don't know what you're going to do there. But anyway, you've done well if you've done that. Amen. All right. So now this is going to deal with our flesh a little bit. I know that getting close to other people is the last thing our flesh wants to do, but it's the first thing our heart wants. Because we were created for community on the inside. That's just the way it is. You know, we want other people in our life. You know, we need other people in our life. Now, I'm going to say this as a disclaimer for our church. I cannot think that anyone in this church would intentionally want to hurt someone else on purpose. I know most of you fairly well. I really don't believe that any of you would want to hurt somebody on purpose. Now, we may say something wrong, right? Or somebody may hear it wrong, but it would not be intentional. So if you can enter into the relationship with us with that in mind, everything's going to be fine. Nobody is, you know, be honest, you know, we had some mean people before I got rid of them, so anyway, we're all gone. If you're listening right now, you can come back. No, just kidding. No, nobody's really wanting to hurt anybody, right? Come on, we're all mature enough to know that. It happens, though. I mean, I don't want to hurt my wife, but we, you know, what is it? Women are from Venus, men are from Mars, you know, some of that stuff. We're just opposite. So every now and then, we take things wrong. You know, but we know. I think we know. I'm going out on a limb here. We know that we really don't want to hurt each other. What benefit would that be to me to hurt my wife? So I can feel like a man? That's not a man. If you have to hurt somebody else to be somebody, you're nobody, right? Hey, write that down. That's a good one. Just kidding. All right, now I want to get into the vision that we have for the church. I want to look at Isaiah 37, 31. And this is what God spoke into my spirit, you know, months ago, and has finally taken me to this place to get to here right now. But Isaiah 37, 31, that print is a little small on that slide, ain't it? Take my word for it. Look it up in the Bible. Anyway, it says, their surviving remnant of the house of Judah will again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Take root downward and bear fruit upward. And that's the vision that we have for the church, is root downward, fruit upward. If you could put the next slide up, there we go. Yeah. That's what a grow group is. Is to bear fruit upward and to take root downward. I used to be on a farm boy, and about root downward, I know the importance of good roots. We need good roots to grow strong, right? You need to be good roots to grow up, and they need to go down. See, the parable of the sower was really about the parable of the soil and not the seed. The seed was always going to work. The seed was good. And the seed is God's word. But it's the soil sometimes we got to work on. And that's why we need to maybe do some excavating in our life. You know, as a kid, Sunday afternoon sometimes would be a day that, you know, especially if Dad had maybe tore up some new ground or something, and all of a sudden it would bring out rocks or sticks. So that was our Sunday fun day, you know what I mean? We would pull a hay rack behind a tractor, and we'd go out through the field, and we'd go out and we'd pick up all the rocks and get rid of all the sticks, and we'd put them on the hay rack and then take them to the ditch and throw them away. Okay, that's just what we had to do on some Sundays. Yeah, it was a rough life as a kid. I know you guys are probably feeling sorry for me right now. But anyway, it didn't kill me. But you know, we don't want those rocks in our life. We want to get rid of those rocks, you know, because they cause problems, especially if they hit a disc and break a blade and all that, the disc and stuff like that. So what we want is our roots to run deep in the Lord so we'll be able to stand tall during times of testing. See, when testing comes, it's like a big wind that comes against us. And if we have shallow roots, we can be uprooted and blown away. But if our roots go down deep, then we can't be moved. You and I know we go through life, right? We go through some hard times. Hard times come. I mean, nobody's exempt. It'd be nice to say that, you know, I know people that's told people to get them saved, hey, all you got to do is ask Jesus in your heart, and you'll never have another problem. Hello, you know, then the devil hates you more, you know, because you're against him, you know, so you're going to get some attack. That's just the way it is. But see, I found the deeper the root, the better the fruit, and that's the goal, is we want to grow fruit. We want to grow fruit in our life. So our root has to go down, and that's where if we experience God in a deeper way, and that 5 points are starting to operate in our life, then we're going to be stronger so that we can bear fruit upward. See, bearing fruit is proof of our connection to the Lord. So if we're not bearing it, if we're not bearing any fruit, we might be disconnected in some ways. Have you ever saw a limb and it's broken in a tree, but it's still connected? So its leaves are just a little brown? You know what I mean? It's not totally dead yet, because it's got a little bit of connection there. So it looks kind of like it's alive or not, but see, it's not going to bear any fruit. It's just trying to maintain. It's not going to be able to produce. And see, that's what God wants us to do, is to produce, to be able to grow fruit, to give him glory. And see, you know, Jesus, remember, he cursed the fig tree because it had no fruit. He's just walking along with the disciples one day, and he looked in the tree, and there was no figs in it, and he cursed it and said, no, you know, it died. It didn't die immediately until they came back the next day, and it was graveyard dead. You know, it was just gone. And see, that's what happened. And so fruit does two things. Number one, it glorifies God. And also fruit benefits others. Fruit does benefit us a little bit in the sense that if we're bearing fruit, if we're doing things for God's glory, it does feel good on the inside. I ain't gonna lie to you. But what fruit does is that, number one, it shows that God's alive and he's working our life. And number two, when I bear the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, it's a benefit for you. Because I'm easier to hang around then. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm a lot better, you know, than when I got those operating, okay? So grow, how do we do it? This is what the metrics that I want to use for next till God gives me another little vision, but this is the one he's given me now, is how we're going to measure everything in the church. Everything that we do, I want to use this metric, you know. Is what we're doing helping me grow roots or to bear fruit? You know, when I see a grow group, I see that happening. It will do that. It will grow, it will run our roots deeper, and it will grow fruit in our life. So I think that's a positive thing. See, we need to be deliberate in our growth plan for our lives. You just can't hope that things are going to happen. You know what I mean? You know, for me, I wake up every morning, first thing I do, I read the Word. Just like clockwork. Read through the Bible every year. You know, I just have it broken down day by day, but that's my growth plan. I read the Bible. Well, then I pray also. And I have a couple more of these sheets up here. This is where we're praying for the persecuted church. I encourage you to grab one of those. And I like to pray for those who I know are less fortunate than I am. We live in a blessed country, even though sometimes we may not feel blessed, but I want to pray for other people. So it's all about what we're doing to grow. Now, I'm not much on, you know, working an orchard, but I do know a little bit. The prettiest apple tree doesn't usually produce the best apples. It is the one that's been pruned. Now, if you are OCD, you probably would want a tree to be perfect, right? Just a nice little circle, you know, so everybody can see it. Look how pretty I am. But what happens is that tree wastes a lot of energy making the leaves look pretty, and it doesn't have the best fruit because some of its energy is going to things that's not producing. Do you have things in your life that you're putting energy in that is not producing? So what the good husbandman does is he goes in and he prunes that tree. That tree may look like a hideous sight when he's done, but it's going to have the best apples because there's no waste in that tree. All its energy is going to go to feeding that bloom and to feeding that apple to grow, and you're going to get the best. And that's what we need to see, you know, in our walk with God. Is that we got to get rid of the dead stuff in our life. And we shouldn't waste our time on leaves, but focus on fruit, and fruit that's going to remain. And that's a challenge I want to throw down today, is the importance that is what we're doing helping us to grow. Are we bearing, are we rooting down, or are we bearing fruit up? Just simple as that. We're going to pray now, and we're going to ask God, you know, to touch our hearts and our minds, and maybe there's some things today we need to let go of. If there is, we're going to sing our song here in a moment. I encourage you to come up to the altar and just lay it all down here. Amen? Those things in our life that maybe are bringing destruction to us. Then I want to challenge you to be a part of one of our groups, and You know, we meet on Wednesday night now, and I'm going to maybe start one on a Thursday or something. Hopefully my wife and I think I just told her. This is the first time I told her I was doing that. But for those who can't make it on Wednesday, you know, I just want everybody to be included if they want. Amen? Amen. So let's pray.